All right, Jabal say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Lamed Dalid. We're going to start in the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. I want to thank Yehuda again for giving the daf yesterday. So we're going to pick up at Maskif La Marzutra. So Maskif La Marzutra, six lines up from the bottom, last three words on the line. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit. Moving up here. No, Chasosh, you're good. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit, the Gemara quoted an interesting Braisa. And the Braisa, the Gemara quote, I'll just read it. We're not going to go back anymore. I'm just going to quote it to you. The Braisa read the following: Ganav Tavach B'Shabbos, or Ganav Tavach Lavodos Kochabim, Ganav Tavach Shor HaNisko. So we'll say, the Braisa said that if a person stole and then slaughtered the animal that they stole on Shabbos, or you went ahead and Ganav Tavach, you stole and slaughtered the animal for Avod Zara, or you stole and you slaughtered a Shor HaNisko. And Shor HaNisko, again, as you learned, is an animal that is going to be killed, ultimately, again, because it took the life of a human being. So in all of these cases, the Gemara said, the Mishlaim Tashlomi Arba V'Chamisha. See, even though the Rabbi Meir paskins that you still have to pay the penalty of four and five times. That's the specific penalty that the Torah imposes when you steal and then subsequently slaughter and or sell an animal. So Rabbi Meir said that you're going to be chayiv for arba v'chamisha, and the Chachamim say that you are potter. So the Gemara then went on to interpret the case of the Braisa as dealing with. So the obvious kasha is, how can you be chayiv for the money if at the end of the day, specifically in the Shabbos or Avodah Zarah case, that you're going to be chayiv misa as well? Because again, it's violation of Shabbos, worship of Avodah Zarah, both penalties that carry with them a death penalty. So therefore, the Maisa, why would you be chayiv for the arba v'chamisha? So the way that the Gemara interpreted it was that you're talking about a situation of Tavacho Ayidei Acher, Tavayach Ayidei Acher, where someone else slaughtered the animal. And the novelty, of course, in this particular ruling is that although normally, again, you can't be chayiv for the actions of another, but this is a unique situation. Linkage between Tavayach, I'm not going over all of this, just quickly, that linkage between Tavayach and Mocher, just like Mocher is Ayidei Acher, so too Tavayach is Ayidei Acher, and therefore, again, you would be chayiv according to Rabbi Meir. Fine. Maskif La Marzutra. So Marzutra is bothered by this, and he says, Mi ikamidi di ilo avad ihu lo mechayiv va'avad shlihu. So the Rabbi Zutra says, doesn't make sense. Could it be that there would be something that if I do it myself, I'm not chayiv, but if a shliach does it on my behalf, I am chayiv? So Rabbi Zutra is questioning this entire premise. Meaning, if I go ahead and I steal, and then I slaughter an animal on Shabbos, I'm not chayiv arba v'chamisha. I'm not chayiv the four or five times penalty. I'm not chayiv for that. Again, because I'm chayiv for a death penalty. Therefore, I'm not chayiv for the monetary compensation. But yet, again, if somebody slaughters the animal on my behalf, so then I am chayiv? Is there ever such a thing like this? If I do it myself, I'm not chayiv, but if my shliach does it, I am chayiv? To which the Gemara says, no. And both say, this is a very important distinction. Rabbi say, when you steal and then slaughter an animal on Shabbos, so that the halacha, as we know, is that you are chayiv death penalty and you are not chayiv to pay back the financial penalties. So the Gemara says, that's not because you're exempt from the financial penalties. Rather, what? Ela mishum de kimle or de kamle b'derabimine. Rabbi says, this is very important. Kamle b'derabimine, the Gemara is suggesting now, does not mean you are potter. Kamle b'derabimine is a legal principle that you can't be held liable twice for the same wrong. And therefore, again, if you do something that generates two punishments, you get the more intense or the more chumer of the two punishments. But it doesn't mean that you're exempt from the lesser punishment. It just means that we only impose the stricter punishment. So which the Gemara says, so we'll say, so therefore again, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, it's not the pshat that if I do it myself, I'm potter. It's not that I'm potter. So we'll say, it's a very important chakira here. When I go ahead and if I steal and slaughter an animal on Shabbos, so lemaisa, it's not the pshat that I'm potter from the money. It's just that the liability for the money is set aside. And that's not a question of cement. semantics. So why is it not a question of semantics? Therefore, if somebody acts on my behalf, someone is my shaliach, so therefore what? I will be chayav for that. You say, if you say, kim le'bedrab mine, means that you're pater for the lesser liability, that if someone else does it on my behalf, I'm going to be pater also. But if you say, it's not that I'm pater, it's that we only choose to enforce the more intense liability, then if it's done on the shliach, I am chayav. So the Gemara goes, vayter maskiflei. So if it's a case of where, as we're setting it up, that the animal is being slaughtered on behalf of another, or I should say by another, what's the logic of the Rabbanon that say that I'm potter? To which the Gemara says, man chachamim, top of Lama Dalad, who are the chachamim? So remember, again, now what we've established is, according to Rabbi Meir, who says you're chayiv for arba v'chamisha, who says that you're chayiv for 4 and 5 times penalty. Now I understand, because we set up the case of where I, the thief, am not shechting it myself, but rather, again, it's being shechted by someone else. That's why I'm chayiv for arba v'chamisha. But according to, so if that's the case, according to the Rabbanon, why did the Rabbanon say that I'm exempt from arba v'chamisha? Top of Lamed Daled, Rabbi Shimon, because again, the Rabbanon are reflecting the view of Rabbi Shimon. The Amar, Shchita she'ina ru'u yaloshma shchita. Chazabon say, Rabbi Shimon holds that a shchita, that is a non-effective shchita, meaning shchita she'ina ru'uya means that a shchita essentially that does not render an animal permissible for consumption is not considered to be a bona fide shchita. To which the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. So I understand how this principle or how this position could apply to an animal shechted for avodas kochavim and an animal shechted for sharniska. Meaning, I will say, listen to what the Gemara is saying over here. There's a special penalty payment that the Torah imposes upon someone who steals an animal and then slaughters it. So now what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, at least according to the Rabbanim, that the Rabbanim paskin like Rabbi Shimon, and the only time you're chayav for slaughtering the animal is when the shechita itself is an effective shechita that allows the animal to be consumed. But if the animal can't be consumed as a result of the shechita, then what? Then you will not be chayiv for the 4 and 5 times penalty payment. So the Gemara says, okay, let's analyze this. The Braisa brought down 3 cases. Someone who steals and shechts an animal on Shabbos, someone who shechts an animal for Avodah Zarah, steals and shechts an animal for Avodah Zarah, someone who steals and shechts a Shor HaNiskal. So I understand why it's a shechita she'ina ru'uya by Avodah Zarah, because, right, what's the logic there? Because if you shecht an animal for idolatrous purposes, then the mice, that animal is not permitted for consumption. I understand why it doesn't work by a sharniskal. Well, it's like a sharniskal is an animal that is going to be killed. So to a certain degree, the sharniskal already has a status as if it's dead already, and therefore the mice, the shechita will not permit it for consumption. Ela shechitas Shabbos, shechita ru'yehi. But I don't understand. If I go ahead and I shecht an animal on Shabbos, now granted, Rabosai, I did something wrong. Not just something wrong. I did something that carries it a death penalty, but shechita is a good shechita. I'm saying it's kosher. It's even glatt, right? Bais Yosef, whatever you know, my mamish. Like I could. So the act was wrong, but lamaisa again, the shechita could still be a good shechita. So why would the Rabbanan say I'm not chayiv arba v'chamisha? To which the Gemara says this not because we learned hashochit b'Shabbos Yom Kippurim. If one shechts an animal Shabbos or Yom Kippur, afa pishem is chayiv b'naf. So even though you are liable to a death penalty for that act, nevertheless shechita so kshera. Your shechita is still good. So what's the pshat? Meaning again, so we're asking now in the Rabbanon. So remember again, now that we've established according to the Rabbanon that you're going ahead and you're shechting through a third party, yet the Rabbanon in the Braisa has said that you're exempt from Arba v'chamisha. So why is that? Because the Gemara is suggesting that the Rabbanon are Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon holds that any time that a shechita is not a proper shechita, meaning that the shechita does not allow the consumption of the animal, therefore that's not called shechita. If it's not called shechita, then you're not chayav for what? Arba v'chamisha. That works in the case of Shor HaNiskal. That works in the case of Avodah Zarah. But what about Shabbos? After all, we know that even if you violate Shabbos or shechting an animal, the shechita is still a good shechita. To which the Gemara is listening to Rabbi Yochanan. Several like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. Also, just so you should know, by the way, I mentioned this before, you know, the Ksuvus is called Shas Katan. Right, because as you've seen already, everything is in Ksuvus. It's amazing, just even on the staff over here. So the Gemara is bringing us such a sadistic ideas. Because Rabbanu like Rabbi Yochanan Salas, this takes us back to our Shabbos days. So What did Rabbi Yochanan Sanler say? This sign you learned in a brayso. Hamavashal b'Shabbes b'Shogeg Yochal b'Mizal Yochal de Rabbi Meir. What Rabbi Meir says that if a person accidentally violates Shabbos, and we'll say this is actually a very lemaisa case. A person accidentally violates Shabbos. I accidentally cook something on Shabbos. So what is the status of that item I cooked? Well, that's the status. So Rabbi Meir holds, if you did it accidentally, you could eat it. If you did it b'mezid, you can't eat it. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Huda Omer, b'shogeg yochal amatzei Shabbos, b'mezid lo yochal olamas. Rabbi Huda says, well, if you did it b'shogeg, you can't eat it on Shabbos itself, but you can eat it after Shabbos. I will say, remember again, we actually qualified that even more in the Gemara, yeah, but you have to eat b'chdei shiyasu, right? You have to eat the amount of time that it would take to cook the item after Shabbos. But b'mezid, if you did it intentionally, you can't eat it at all. Rabbi Yochanan Sanler, Rabbi Yochanan Sanler says, b'shogeg yochal, b'shogeg yochal amatzei Shabbos, la'achirim v'lo lo. So Rabbi Yochanan Sanler puts it on an additional level. Yes, he can eat on amatzei Shabbos, but who can eat on amatzei Shabbos? Only other people. The perpetrator may never go ahead and eat the food at all. It's a knas. However, b'mezid lo yochal olamas lo lo v'lo la'achirim. But if he did it intentionally, so no one is ever permitted to eat it. So both say the Gemara now is suggesting that the Rabbanan in the Braisa hold like Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. And therefore, what does Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler say? That if you intentionally slaughter an animal on Shabbos, what is the status of that animal? According to Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, b'mezid, usher for everyone. Oh, if that's the case, then it's what? Or then it's not what? Then it's not a shchita re'uya. If it's not a, it's a shchita she'ena re'uya. If it's a shchita she'ena re'uya, it's not an appropriate shchita, then you are not chayiv arba v'chamisha, which is why the Rabbanan pater. Now that we brought up Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, the Gemara says, my time is Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. So what is Rabbi Yochanan Sandler's logic? Meaning, this is a very strict stance. If you did a b'shogeg, so you, the perpetrator, can never eat it. Everyone else can eat it Matzah Shabbos. You did a b'mezid, asra li olam. So what's the logic over here? Because his logic is in accordance as Rabbi Chiya paskind on the entrance we have the house of the Nasi. The pasuk says, "Ushmartem es haShabbos." You shall go ahead and guard the Shabbos. Ki kodesh ilochem, because the Shabbos is kodesh to you. Ma kodesh asher b'achila, just like kodesh, sanctified items are asher for consumption, meaning to a non-going. Af ma'aseh Shabbos asurim b'achila. So to again, anything, any malacha you do on Shabbos is also asher b'achila. Aye, but if that's the case, maybe we should extend this. Ma kodesh aser ba'ano, af ma'aseh Shabbos aser ba'ano. So yeah, I would say that the same way that kodesh, you can't get hana from kodesh, so you can't get hana from ma'aseh Shabbos. Now we'll say, now remember, even Kuntra B'Yochanan Sandler who says that if I accidentally cook myself an omelet on Shabbos, so what does Rabbi Yochanan Sandler say? I, the perpetrator, am never permitted to go ahead and eat that omelet. I'm never permitted to, even on Matzah Shabbos, but I can't sell it. I can sell it. I don't have to give it. I can get hanah from it. So how do I know? But if you're comparing it to Kodesh, maybe it should be Asher Tana, Tamalom Alachem. Therefore, the pasuk says for you, Shalachem Yehei. You are permitted to have it. You're just not permitted to eat it. Yochol afilu b'shogeg. I might have thought that this is true, even b'shogeg, that it's usher to me. Tamud lomar mechal aleha mos yumas. Therefore, the pasuk says, those who go ahead and violate it shall die. B'mezid amarti lecha v'lo b'shogeg. Ultimately, again, it only applies b'mezid and not b'shogeg. So we'll say, now the Gemara is going to spend a little bit of time on this. Pligi ba Rav Acha v'Ravina. So we'll say Rav Acha and Ravina have a machlokes about this. Chad amar ma'ase Shabbos d'oraisa v'chad amar d'rabbanan. So we'll say now they have an interesting machlokes. Rashi says ma'ase Shabbos b'mezid asura min haTorah ba'achila Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. So we'll say now there's a machlokes between Rav Acha and Ravina in the shita of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. Now not in the shita, but more the mechanics of the shita. So remember, Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler is saying that if he violates Shabbos b'shogeg, so the perpetrator is never permitted to get benefit from the item he cooked, but everyone else is permitted to get benefit on Matzah Shabbos. But if he did it b'mezid, then no one is ever permitted to get benefit from it. So there's machlokes of Acha and Ravina now. Is that isra? If Reuven violates Shabbos b'mezid, The product of his malacha, current Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, is usher to everyone forever. So now machlok is Rav Acha and Ravina, Chad Amar, Chad, excuse me, Chad Amar Maaseh Shabbos D'oraisa, V'Chad Amar D'rabbanan. One opinion says that this is an Issur D'oraisa, and one opinion says an Issur D'rabbanan. So man d'amar d'oraisa k'da amram. So we'll say the man d'amar who says that the Issur of Maisa Shabbos d'oraisa, that's what we just said before. That's the comparison between Maisa Shabbos and Kodesh. That tells us that it's Issur D'oraisa. Man d'amar d'rabbanan, the one who says that it's only an Issur D'rabbanan, because Amar Kra, the Pasuk says Kodeshi. The Pasuk says that Shabbos is Kodesh. He Kodesh. Shabbos is Kodesh. The Ein Maaseha Kodesh. But any Malacha done on Shabbos does not become like Kodesh itself. So we'll say, and that we should know, that's what we paskin. That's what we paskin, of course. And the truth is, we paskin, as you know, not like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler at all. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in this machlokes. That if a person goes ahead and accidentally violates Shabbos, accidentally cook an omelet on Shabbos, so we paskin that on Matzei Shabbos, I am permitted to go ahead and eat the omelet, even I, the perpetrator. But b'mezid, I can never eat it, but others are permitted to eat it on Matzei Shabbos. And the truth is, this Isser of Maisa Shabbos, though, we paskin, is not an Isser d'oraisa, but rather, again, is an Isser d'rabbanon. So the Gemara says, Uleman d'om. So we'll say now, there's just a lot of things happening over here. So now watch this. So remember, we've constructed this entire argument to understand the Shita of the Rabbanon in the Braisa Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. So the Rabbanon in the Braisa Lamed Gimel Amud Beis said that if I went ahead and I stole and slaughtered an animal on Shabbos, so what's the halacha? The Rabbanon say, I am potter from Arba V'chamisha, potter from the 4 or 5 times penalty payment. What's the logic of the Rabbanon? So essentially we said that the Rabbanon hold that any Shechita She'ina Re'uya is not considered to be a Shechita. Why isn't it a Shechita on Shabbos? Because the Rabbanon also paskin like Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. And Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler says that if you go ahead and you shecht an animal on Shabbos b'mezid, then what? It's a surah forever. It's a surah forever, both for me, the perpetrator, and everyone else. If that's the case, according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, when you intentionally slaughter an animal on Shabbos, it's a shechita she'ina ru'uya. If it's a shechita she'ina ru'uya, it's not a shechita. And if it's not a shechita, you're not chayiv for arba v'chamisha. But that only works if what? I just follow this a little bit further. That only works if you hold that when Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler says that you may not get benefit from Maisa Shabbos, that it's an Issur D'oraisa. If it's an Issur D'oraisa, then it's Shechita She'ena Ru'uya. And if it's Shechita She'ena Ru'uya, then you're not chayiv for Arba V'chamisha. But if it's only Aser Medirabanan, then in reality what? It's Shechita Ru'uya. If it's Shechita Ru'uya, then I should be chayiv Dalet V'chamisha. Good?
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. I know. A lot. I should use a PowerPoint. So the Gemara says the following. Next machzer. We're going to have to do a PowerPoint. I'm sorry? We test that. That's right. So the Gemara says, so my time is Ulman Dharma Drabanan. So now the Gemara says, Kasha. So according to the Mandam who says that Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler's Isser of Maisa Shabbos is only Dirabanan. If that's the case, my Tamayo Dirabanan the Patri. So why is it that, why would the rabbi say in the Braisa that you'd be parted from Arba V'chamisha? To which the Gemara says, Enachinami ki kapachi Rabbanan Asha'ara to Asha'ara. Enachinami Rabbi say, according to that approach, according to the approach that says that Rabbi Yochanan Sandler's Isser is only an Issur D'oraisa, only an Issur D'rabbanan. Therefore, technically, again, if you shecht on Shabbos, that's a shechita ru'uya, and therefore, technically, again, you should be chayiv v'arba v'chamisha. In achinami, when the Rabbanan said in the Brayis on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis that you are pater, they were not talking about the case of Shabbos. They were only talking about the case of what? Of Avodah Zarah and Shrahan Niskal. But in the case of Shabbos, Enachinami, the Rabbanan would say you would be Chayiv Arba V'chamish. They would agree with Rabbi Meir in that particular case. Fine. Now the Gemara goes to the next case. Tovech Lavodos Kochavim. So now remember, Rabbi will say, in the case of where a person stole an animal and then shechted it for Avodah Zarah, so why would I be Chayiv? Kevan de Shachet Beipurta, Itzarle Idach, Itzarle. Idach ki katavach lav demari katavach. Rabbi say, once I begin that shechita, the shem avodah zarah, then what? That animal becomes avodah zarah. Once the animal becomes avodah zarah, then I am no longer shechting the animal of the original owner. Meaning that animal becomes an avodah zarah animal. If that's the case, then why would I be chayiv for the arba v'chamisha? Amar Rava, to which Rava said, Ba'omer b'gemar zevicha hu avda. Because where he makes an explicit statement that I'm not offering this animal to Avodah Zarah until when? Until the shechita is complete. So meaning the animal remains in his possession until the end of the shechita, which makes him then chayv and arav v'chamisha. Next, shar haniska lav didehu. Now what's interesting is the following. If you have a shar niskal is an animal that is condemned to die. If the animal is condemned to die, then lemaisa again, why would I be chayv? Right? Because again, if it's condemned to die, then it's already been removed from my rishus. If it's already been removed from my rishus, meaning, I should say it differently, it's already removed from the owner's rishus. Right? So, meaning if I steal a shor haniskal, the Gemara is asking over here, why would I be chayv arba v'chamisha to the owner if that animal has already been removed from the owner's rishus? Lavdi dehu dekatavach. Amarabba, what's the case? We'll say it's actually an interesting case. Hachamai askinan, kigon shemasu l'shon. We'll say, listen to this. The case over here is where I gave my animal. I am the owner. I gave my animal over to a shomer. And what happens? Vehezik bebeis ha-shomer. The animal did damage while it was in the home of the shomer. Venigmar dino bebeis ha-dine bebeis ha-shomer. And what happens? And the Gemar Din, meaning the verdict on the Shar, was in the house of Shomer. So again, I will say, just follow this over here. It's my animal. I gave it to a Shomer. The animal damaged while it was in the house of the Shomer. And Nigmar Dino, the verdict that it's a Shar Niskal, was handed down in the house of the Shomer. The gunvomi based shomer. We'll say, first of all, this guy is not a shomer, right? He's definitely doing a very bad job over here, right? The shor has become a shor haniskal, as well as been stolen, right? I don't even know what's missing from this case. But in any event, this guy, Pashit, like, he's not going to get much business in the future. In any event, so it became a shor haniskal, then it was stolen. We'll say, now watch this. Rabbi Meir, so now remember, Rabbi Meir is the one who says that in this case over here, you're chayiv dalad v'chamisha. Rabbi Meir is sovel k'Rab Yaakov, v'sovel k'Rab Shimon. And Rabbi Meir holds the k'Rab Yaakov and holds the k'Rab Shimon. What does that mean? Sovel k'Rab Yaakov da'amar af mishen nigmar dino hechziro shomer labayil of muchzer. And I will say, now this is fascinating. Rabbi Yaakov is of the opinion like this. If I go ahead and I give my animal to a shomer to watch, and the animal becomes a shor niskal. Also remember, in order to become a shor niskal, you have to go and you have to kill a person. So the shor becomes shor niskal. So Rabbi Yaakov has an amazing shita. Rabbi Yaakov says that the shomer could show back up my doorstep with the shor and return it to me, and he's potter. Why? Because he could say to me, "Listen, you gave me a shor, and what? I'm giving you back the shor." The status of the shor changed dramatically from the shor that I gave him to the shor that he's giving back to me. But he has every right to say, I'm giving you back the very object that you entrusted in me. So both said, therefore, again, according to Rabbi Yaakov, that same animal still is considered to be in the reshus of the owner. Furthermore, that's number one. He also holds like Rabbi Shimon, who says that Rabbi says something that will cause financial obligation has the status of mamon itself. Therefore, Rabbi says, so listen to this. If you put all of this together, see, here's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with over here a case of where I entrusted my animal to a shomer. We'll call him Reuven. I entrusted my animal to Reuven the shomer. The animal became a shor haniskal while under the watch of Reuven. Then what happens? Shimon goes ahead and steals that animal and shechts it. So Rabbi Meir says that what? Shimon is chayiv arba v'chamisha to who? To me. So the Gemara said, well, why would Shimon be chayiv arba v'chamisha to me, the owner? After all, again, it's not even my animal anymore. To which the Gemara says, because Rabbi Meir paskins like Rabbi Yaakov and like Rabbi Shimon. Or I should say, yeah, like Rabbi Yaakov, like Rabbi Shimon. Like Rabbi Yaakov that says, that shor niskal is still technically my animal. Why is it still technically my animal? Because if the shomer Reuven wanted to show up at my house and deposit back, give me back my animal, what's the halacha? Technically speaking, he could do that. Now, we don't pass in that way, but again, for now, right? Technically speaking, he could do that. So therefore, again, you see that animal is still in my reshus. Furthermore, even though that animal does not really have a value anymore, because again, it's a shor niskal, it's as good as dead, but since again, it represents a value and that the shomer is going to have to compensate me for the loss of the animal, therefore, davar ha-garin le-mamon ki-mamon dami. When you put all of this together, so even if Shimon steals a shor haniskal from the shomer who was watching it for me, and then subsequently slaughters it, he will still be chayiv arba v'chamisha. Rabba says no. Rabba says, everything we've done until now has been going with Rabbi Yochanan's approach of Toveach Ayide Acher, where the animal was shechted by a third party. Rabba comes back and says, no, the Olam B'Toveach Ayide Atzmo. It's not true. We're going back to what we originally thought, that the case is over here is where the thief himself is shechting the animal. But if the thief himself is shechting the animal, then do we not run into an issue of kimle b'dirabimine? Especially again in the case, maybe not sharniskal, but at least it's shown in the cases of Shabbos and in the case of Avodah Zarah. So what's going on? How could Rabbi Meir hold the Chachayiv Arba v'chamisha? I'm supposed to say this is amazing. Rabbi Meir, loke umashalim isle, meis umashalim lesle. The truth is, Rabbi Meir normally holds that you can get malchus, you can get malchus and have to pay, but you never get death and have to pay. Get death, that's probably the wrong, not good English. You are never executed and have financial liability as well. Right? So if that's the case, in one second. So if you tell me that Rabbi Meir doesn't hold of Mason Mishalim, then how could he say you're chayiv arba v'chamisha in the case of Shabbos, in the case of Avodah Zarah? Those are both cases that carry with them death penalties. And yet Rabbi Meir says you still have to pay. Oh, I'll tell you why. V'shayni hani, d'chidushu shechishetara b'knas. Oh, these cases are different. Rabbi Meir, I remember again, arba v'chamisha, the payments of four or five times the value of the animal. Rabbi Meir, what we call a knas. In halacha, just a quick 10 seconds about this. In halacha, there are two different types of financial payments. There's what's called knas, and there's what's called mamon. Knas is a penalty payment. Mamon is a financial payment. What's the difference? So mamon, what you have to pay is always related to either damages or what you've done, meaning the amount that you have to pay is a logical amount. Is the amount of four or five times the penalty, the value of the animal, a logical amount? No, that is absolutely punitive. It's punitive, meaning, punitive, is that the right? Yeah. Good. You're not a lawyer. Why should you? Right. All right. Okay. Look at I was looking past you, Adria. I was looking over here. All right, good. So that's. Sorry. So
I'll just come back a minute.
Yeah. So therefore, I'm also listening to this. Rabbi Meir holds that normally we don't say Mesum Shalim. Normally, if you're going to be executed, so you don't have to, there's no financial penalties except in cases of knas, except in penalty payments. The chidush is chichitar, because we'll say since penalty payments, knas is a chidush to begin with, therefore the chidush extends, afakav the miklum mashalim, even though you're going to be executed, you're still going to have to pay. So we'll say what the Gemara now is suggesting is Rabbi Meir holds that there is no din of mamon when there is going to be execution, but there is a din of knas, of penalty payments, even when there is a death penalty as well. V'az de Rabba Latame, and Rabba goes according to his logic, according to his previously established reasoning, the Amar Rabba, listen to this, Hayyig di gun of lo, v'tavcho b'shabes chayiv, shekvarnes chayiv b'gineva kodem shiyavo l'de isu shabes. Well, listen to this. Rabba says the following, if I stole a kid, meaning not a child, a kid, a small goat, right? I go ahead and I stole the gdi prior to Shabbos, and I shechted it on Shabbos. I'm going to be chayiv arba v'chamisha. Why? Because, well, so listen to this. This is very important. That generally, for arba v'chamisha builds on the keren. Meaning, when I steal an item, I become chayiv for the keren, for the principle of the item. Then once I shecht it, there is a knas that builds on top of that keren. So Rabbi Meir says the following. Actually, Rabbi says the following. That if you stole the animal before Shabbos, I will say, if you stole the animal before Shabbos, then what? You are chayiv in the keren, in the principle already before Shabbos. Then if you shecht it on Shabbos, you are chayiv, of course, for violation of Shabbos, but you're also chayiv for what? For arba v'chamisha. Why? Because since you've established your mamon obligation before Shabbos, then the penalty payment could devolve upon you even upon Shabbos. However, Gana v'tavach b'Shabbos potter. But Rabbi say, if you stole and slaughtered the animal on Shabbos, then what? You are potter. Why? Shem ein gneva ein tvicha v'ein mechira. Rabbi say, listen to this. It's actually fascinating. If you stole and slaughtered on Shabbos, then you're not chayiv for financial. You're chayiv for violating Shabbos. You're not chayiv for financial payments. Why? Because Rabbi say, watch this. Rabbi Meir holds that there's no such thing. You can't be mesum shalim. You can't go ahead and you can't be liable to pay and for execution. So therefore, I will say, watch this. What that means is you can't be chayiv for mamon and nisa. So if you go ahead and you steal the animal on Shabbos and you shecht it on Shabbos, you're not chayiv, if anything, for the financial, for the knas. Why? Because since, again, the mamon obligation occurs on Shabbos, and you can't be chayiv for both mamon and nisa, so if you're not chayiv for the mamon. If you're not chayiv for the mamon, then what else are you not chayiv for? What else are you not chayiv for? You're not chayiv for the knas. Because knas builds upon mamon. So if you're not chayiv for the mamon, you're not chayiv for the knas. You can't be chayiv for the mamon if the chiyuv for mamon and the chiyuv for death occur at the same time. Again, you don't need simultaneity over here. They're just all occurring on the same Shabbos. If there's no chiyuv for mamon, there's no chiyuv for knas. So therefore, again, Rabbah's outlining over here something very dramatically amazing. If the chiyuv for mamon pre-existed Shabbos, then when you shech that animal on Shabbos, you can be chayiv nisa for the shechita as well as what? As well as the knas. Not mamon. Remember, we're going to be careful with our words here, right? Not mamon, because mamon, right? Mamon was established before. Correct. You're chayiv for the mamon on the day before. That we all agree with. But you can even be chayiv for the knas on Shabbos. However, again, if there was no pre-existing liability for mamon, so therefore you've got mamon and misa occurring at the same time, that's a no-go. You can't be chayiv mamon and misa. Therefore, you're going to be exempt for the mamon, chayiv for the misa. But once I'm exempt from the mamon, what else am I exempt from? The knas as well. It's amazing. So Rabba says another case, which seems to be the same exact case. Listen to this. So what happens? So Rabba says, if I already stole the gedi beforehand, and I shechted it, machteres literally means while I am tunneling. Machteres literally means tunneling. But what this means is that if, again, the halacha is that if a ganov, if a ganav is tunneling into your house, so what's the halacha? The halacha is that you are permitted to go out and kill him. Permitted to go and kill him, because the assumption is that if somebody's coming and breaking into your house, tunneling into your house, that they're ready to kill you. So therefore, again, the halacha is you're permitted to go out and save your life by killing them. So we'll say this guy is an exceptionally talented ganav, because look what he's doing. So meaning, if he already stole the gedi beforehand, and he's shechting it while he's tunneling. I would say, if you're this talented, I would give him whatever he wants. I'm saying, like, Mamish, like this is already like a heightened level of corrupted talent, but talent nevertheless. So in any event, he's going ahead, and while he's tunneling, he's shechting. Now, I will say, now listen to this chav. What's the pshat that he's shechting while he's tunneling? A ganav in a state of tunneling is considered to be chayiv misa. Why? He's already considered as if he has a din misa on him. Why? Because while he is tunneling, technically speaking, someone has the right to kill him. So therefore, he is a chiyuv misa while at the same time he's shechting. So the chiyuv misa and the chiyuv arba v'chamisha are occurring at the same time. But he's going to be chayiv for the arba v'chamisha. Why? Because again, same thing. Because the din of mamon already pre-existed. He already had a pre-existing din of mamon because he already stole the animal beforehand. So therefore, the din of mamon already existed, he owed the Karen, and now, while he's tunneling, he's shechting. So now you have misa, not misa and mamon, rather you have what? Misa and knas. Oh, misa and knas, you could have simultaneous liability for. However, shekvarnes chayv b'gneva kolim sheyavol idei isra machteres, because he was already chayv in the gneva, therefore already chayv in the Karen, prior to his death penalty, his death sentence. However, listen to this. Ganav v'tavach b'machteres, that was, and I watch this. However, if he stole, slaughtered, and tunneled at the same time, then what? Then potter. Then Rabbi say he'll be potter. He'll be potter from what? He'll be potter again from the Karen, from the Mamon, and from Dalet v'Chamisha. Why? Because in this case over here, everything is happening at the same time. And because, again, because there's no pre-existing din of Mamon, no pre-existing din of Mamon, of a monetary obligation, Karen obligation, therefore, again, or I should say, therefore, let me say it differently. Because Mamon and Misa occur at the same time, therefore, by definition, the Mamon falls off. The Mamon falls off, there's only Misa. And if there's no Mamon, then what? then what? Then there's no knasi. There's no dalad de chamisha. Shemein gneva ein tevicha ve'ein mechira. So we'll say, essentially, the Gemara just quoted the same illustration of Rava's principle in two different ways. One was by Hilchos Shabbos, and one was Baba Machteres. So the Gemara says, tzricha. We'll say, really fascinating case if you think about it. Tzricha. And so now the Gemara is obviously bothered by, why did you have to say both of these cases? And we'll say, meaning, they're both illustrating the same principle, which is what? Which is what? That halacha lemaisa, the chiddush over here is that you could be chayiv misa and knas. What you can't be chayiv is misa and mamon. So if the chiyuv of misa and mamon come at the same time, mamon falls away, misa remains in place. But if the chiyuv mamon pre-existed, then the chiyuv knas and misa come at the same time, then you can be chayiv misa and knas at the same time. And the Gemara just illustrated this in two different ways, Shabbos and Machteres. So why do I need both? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why I need both. The tzricha. Diashmin on Shabbos, Mishum di Isura Isra Olam. I might have thought that the reason why Shabbos, if we're just talking about Shabbos, because Shabbos has an Isra Olam, right? They're both say, if you look at Rashi, Mishum di Isura Isra Olam, calls Mashe, Idu Alav Shechilo Shabbos, Yimisu, based in Hilcha Chamira Misa Dile Lepochrami Mamon. I might have thought like this. That aloha, because Shabbos is an Isra Olam, and therefore again, whenever they come to God and whenever they come to testify about me that I was Mechal Shabbos, so again, there's a din Misa as Beis Din. Therefore, maybe that Misa is very Machmir, and therefore that's why I should be Pater from Mamon. However, again, Avam Machteres, the Isra Shahu, Emolo, but perhaps when it comes to Baba Machteres, where again, Rabosai, the Chi of Misa is only for a limited amount of time. See, Rabosai is very interesting. If you're Mechal Shabbos, so how long does that Isser Misa, how long is that Isser Misa upon you? It's forever, right? But Baba Machteres, when you're tunneling in, the Chi of Misa is only when you're active tunneling, and you're actively tunneling. But when you're no longer tunneling, you no longer have the Chi of Misa. It's very interesting that it's only Isser Shah. Emalo, I might have thought not. Look at Rashi, Isser Shah, Ilo Mashkach Le'ayishaita Sulo Mikdal. You're no longer guilt, and therefore again, maybe in that kind of situation, you're not potter. You're not pater from Mamon. Therefore, again, I need both cases. And if we're just talking the case of Machteres, Mishum de Machteras Zoi Hasra also. Because since Rabbi Osai, again, the act of tunneling itself is my Hasra, meaning I don't need any formal Hasra for that. However, again, the Machteras Zoi Hasra about Shabbos, the Baya Hasra, Emalo. But perhaps, and therefore, again, perhaps that's why I'm a pater from Mamon. But by Shabbos, which requires Hasra, perhaps there's no exemption of Mamon. Therefore, again, Tzricha. So we'll say essentially, what the Gemara says is both cases are dissimilar, and therefore again, they both need to be stated. Amara Papa Rabosai, another case. Amara Papa Haisa Para Ginuvalo. Actually, again, it's not another case. This is the same illustration of the principle of Rabba. So Rabosai, again, just so you understand over here, going back, let's keep our eye on the ball with this. Rabba now is reinventing the Braisa case. And Rabba says that Rabbi Meir would hold that your chayiv for Arba Vechamisha, even in a case where you slaughtered the animal on Shabbos, and you don't have to set it up as a case of where the animal was slaughtered by a third party. It could even be a case where what? The ganav himself is slaughtering it. Aye, what about kimle bedrab mine? No, kimle bedrab mine only applies where, Rabosai? Only when? With mamon and misa. But it doesn't apply with knas and misa. Knas will apply even in cases of misa, and that's the chiddush of knas. And therefore, but again, the caveat over here is it only works if what? If the chi of mamon pre-existed the chi of misa. So as long as the chi of mamon was there earlier, so let's say he stole it on Erev Shabbos, then Lamaisi can be chayiv for the knas as well as for misa on Shabbos. And Rapapa illustrates this as well. Amar Papa, Haisa para ginuvalo v'tavcha b'Shabbos. So I'll say, if the para was already stolen before Shabbos, and then you slaughtered it on Shabbos chayiv, then I'll be chayiv arba v'chamisha. Why? Shekvar nischayiv b'gneva kodem sheyavo lidei iser Shabbos. Because again, you were already chayiv for the gneva, i.e. the chi of mamon already pre-existed Shabbos. And therefore again, the knas penalty could devolve upon you when you shech the animal. Haisa para shulo. But say another case. If let's say again the para, this is actually another interesting case. Let's say the para was shulolo. I borrowed the para. I'm a shoel. I borrowed the para. Vitavcha b'Shabbos, and I slaughtered it on Shabbos. So pater, I am also pater. Then I will say, now this is a very interesting case. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Haisa para shu'ulalo, v'tavcha b'Shabbos pater. So remember, I'm now a shoel, And I shechted the animal on Shabbos. So again, I didn't steal it. Well, I did steal it. The act of slaughtering it is the act of theft. I did steal it. So what's the halacha on Potter? Why? Look at Rashi. That he shechted the katavach le gozel le mimara umiso umamon boyin ke'echad. So what says now, again, now everything what we learned, this is logical. Why? Because if I'm a shoel and I shecht it on Shabbos, then what happens? The act of theft, which is the mammon act, the act of theft itself occurs when? On Shabbos. So everything now is happening at the same time. Mammon and Misa are occurring at the same time. If mammon and Misa occur at the same time, then what's the halacha? Mammon falls aside, Misa stays in place. If mammon falls aside, then what? Then there's no ability for Abba the Chamisha to build upon that. So the Gemara says, Amali Ravacha Bei Dirava, Ravashi Rapapa, Para Asli Asalishim Inon, is Rav Papa coming to teach us the case of Para? In other words, Rabosai, that what the Gemara is kind of, it's like a little bit of a, like a joke. What Rav Papa needs to teach us about the Para, meaning of us, what the Gemara is saying over here is this is no different than the case of the Gedi that Rabbah taught earlier. So Rav Papa just what? Rav Papa just needs to change it to a par instead of a gedi. Why does he need to? We already learned this case. To which the Gemara says, no. Amarle Rav Papa shula al aslashmina. No. Rav Papa's not coming to teach us about a para. Rather, Rav Papa's coming to teach us about the case of a shoel. Why? Saka daitcha amina hoel v'amar Rav Papa mishas mishicha hudi ischayli b'mizono seha. Because since Rav Papa said, Rabbah said, when you borrow an animal from someone, from the time that you are moshechit, you are chayiv in mizonos. Right? From the time that you do mishicha, you are chayiv in mizonos. So I might have thought, hachanami, mishas she'ila is chayiv ba'on seha. I might have thought that from the time that ultimately, again, you borrow it, that what? That you are also chayiv in all onsin. Look at Rashi. Hachanami. Name of Mishas She'ila Ram Yalechiv Karen. I might have thought like this. Just in the same way that you go ahead and as soon as you do Mashicha, you're chayiv for the mazon, it's chayiv to sustain the animal as a shoel. I might have thought that from the time that you become a shoel, you become fully responsible for this animal, which means what, Rabosai? That you're already on the hook for the Karen. Now, if you're already on the hook for the Karen, then I would have thought that what? That therefore when you shecht it on Shabbos, you should what? You should be chayiv arba v'chamisha, because you are already chayiv for the Karen from the time that you borrowed the animal. Kamash malon, that we do not say that. Rashi says, Kamash malon, kevan dechol kama di isei hadra be'enei, ha'yishayte de katavach laka gazlei. Nope, because what we say is, you're not really chayiv for the Karen, because as long as the animal is in existence, all you're obligated for is what? Is to return this animal in its state, and the only time that you become chayiv for the Karen is at the time that you steal the animal, which is the time of the shechita. Because in this case over here, the time of the theft of the animal, when you become chayiv for the Karen, is at the time that you shecht it, which is on Shabbos. Therefore, the chiyuvim of Misa and Mammon coincide with one another. And therefore, what happens when Misa and Mammon coincide with one another? Mammon falls off. Misa remains in place. Because Mammon falls off, therefore there's no ability for Arba V'Chamisha to build upon that as well, and therefore there's no Chiyuv for Karen, and there's no Chiyuv for Arba V'Chamisha. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava. Rava says, Hiniach lahena vien para she'ula. Well, there's another interesting case. Let's say again, we'll call him Yaakov, the father died. Yaakov died, and what happens? He barred a cow. Borrowed a cow from someone else, from Ploni. So what happens? Now let's say he borrowed the cow for 30 days. He dies a week after he borrowed the cow. So now this borrowed cow is sitting there in the estate. So what's that lacha? Mishtam shinbal kayime she'ilasa. So the heirs of the estate are permitted to go ahead and use the cow as a shoel all the rest of the days of the duration of the she'ila. Mesa, however, if the animal dies, ain chayiv ba'onsa. Right, they are not chayiv in any kind of onsin. Then I was saying, why are they not chayiv in any kind of onsin? Rashi says, "De inhu lav sholin inhu." We didn't borrow it. We didn't borrow it. So again, interestingly enough, they're permitted to use the animal for the duration of the she'ila, but they're not chayiv like a shoel, which makes logical sense because again, at lemaisa, they did not borrow the animal themselves. However, again, listen to this. So now, let's say Yaakov, the father, died, and this animal was in the barn, and they assumed kisvurin shalavihani. They thought it was their father's animal, meaning they did not know. A child doesn't necessarily know what his father did, what his father didn't do. So I didn't realize that father went ahead and borrowed this animal. I thought it was father's animal. And they shechted it, and they ate it. So what's the halacha? Now, I will say, obviously, we can't, in this kind of case, we can't make them chayiv for theft because that wasn't their intention. So therefore, there's not going to be the din of Karen. If there's not going to be the din of Karen of Mammon, then there's no Abra v'chamisha. So what is the halacha? Mishalman d'mei basra bezol. They go ahead and, without getting into the details of this, because we're going to see this in Baba Basra, they pay for the amount of cheap meat. As much as cheap meat goes on the market, that's what they pay. Meaning, so they pay only a reduced amount because, again, they had absolutely no knowledge that this was someone else's animal, and, of course, zero intent to go ahead and steal anything. So the Gemara goes, "He niach lan avin achrayichs in the chasam." However, again, if their father left them real property, ashes, karkos, chayov and lushan, then they are obligated to pay. So both say, see, here's what we have. We have a brisa then that has two cases over here. Case number one is where the heirs realized that the animal was a barred animal. So the halacha is what? They can go in and they can use it, but if the animal dies, they don't have to pay back. Case number two, the father leaves behind the barred animal. They did not realize it was a barred animal. They shecht the animal. What's the halacha? They have to repay d'mei basar bezol, the amount of cheap meat. Now, then the last phrase of the braisa is that if their father left for them a real property, then what? Then the halacha is they have to pay. So the shaila is, what does that last phrase go on? What case is that referring to? Some say that last phrase is connected to the first statement in the Braisa, and others say it's the second statement of the Braisa. So watch this. So I will say, according to the one who holds that, it's going on the Braisa. Now, what does that mean? What that means is, what the Braisa is saying is like this. Father left behind an animal that was borrowed. They knew it was borrowed, and now what? They used it, fine. And then the animal died, so the Braisa said they're not chayiv. Then the end of the brisa says, except what? If the father left behind real property, then einachinami, they have to repay the owner of the animal. Then according to Amanda, kol shekina seifa, all the more so what? All the more so in the second case of the brisa, where what Rabosai? Right? They shechted, right? They, see, in the first case of the brisa, the animal just died. So then the brisa is saying they have to repay the person or the owner of the animal. So of course it goes without saying that's what? In the case where they actively shechted the animal, of course they'll have to go ahead and they have to be back. Look at Rashi. Ike demasni aresha lahai hiniach lahen avien achrayes nechassim chayavon l'shayim v'arminim dechayavon ba'onsin dishtabit nechassim da'avun mechayim shashil. Because what's the logic over here? The logic over here is that when you borrow something from someone, so there is so almost like an implied lien against the property of the borrower to make sure they can repay the item. Therefore, what the price is saying is like this, that if the father borrowed the animal and then the animal died, so again, there is a lien against the property of the estate to repay the owner of the animal. And all the more so if what? If the heirs themselves shech the animal, then of course they have to go ahead and repay the owner of the animal. And Rabbo say this would disagree with Rav Papa. Because what does Rav Papa say? Rashi says, the Amar Le'el, Hahi Shaita Dematula Onsin Hu Da Asich Yuvale V'lo Mishasher. Remember, Rav Papa holds that liability for She'ila, liability does not occur at the time that you become a Shoel, but rather only at the time that what? That you actively do something for the animal. Here this is saying that liability occurs, the lien occurs when? Already at the time that the She'ila takes place. Uman de masni la seifa. However, again, according to the one who says that last line of the Braisa only applies to the seifa, Rabosai means what? That lemaisa, again, when it says that if the father had real property, so the heirs have to repay the owner of the animal, that is only referring to which case? The case of where they shechted it. However, avalare shalom, but not in the first case, v'hainu d'Rav Papa, and this would reflect the view of Rav Papa, that what Rabosai, that lemaisa, again, a shoel only becomes chayiv when he actively does something to the animal. But if he did not go ahead and do something active to the animal, like in the first case, where the animal itself died, therefore what? They would not be chayiv to go ahead and repay the owner of the animal. All right, so we're going to stop over here. Start with Bishlam Amir Tzashem tomorrow, and again, we're going to go back in time a little bit to try to reconcile the Mishnah from Makkos with the first Mishnah in our Perek. Amir Tzashem tomorrow. Again, a reminder, scheduled for tomorrow morning, Mesilas Hasharim 5:45, Daf Yomi at 6 o'clock. Shkoyach.
Using the animal is not an active action.